Good morning. How you guys doing? Good? I see people, like every half people are eating muffins and coffee. So, I mean, you guys are happy. That's a sister, you have to bring muffins every Sunday now. Keeps everybody content and happy, right? So, no, happy Grandparents Day to all the grandparents in the room. Grandparents, they play a very important role in the journey of faith for young folks. Oftentimes, particularly in the culture that we live in now, the grandparents are stepping in to even to help raise the kids. And so we want to be very thankful and cognizant. And in the church body, always show respect, right? Always show respect for our elders and for our grandparents because of all the labor and love and sacrifice that they have given for the future generation. So we're so thankful. Just thank you. And it is truly a blessing. Now, in the context of the church, of course, you can leave a legacy of faith. A lot of folks, and I know brothers and sisters that in their testimony, they'll say, my grandma was always praying for me. I know my grandma was always praying for me when I was running the streets, when I was apart from God, where I knew somebody was praying for me to keep me safe because I put myself in some very bad decisions or made some very poor decisions, but I knew that I had people of faith and of prayer in my corner, and God was ultimately, through their testimony, whatever I've shared, and I have a particular brother in my mind that he would say, "I know it was the prayers of my grandma and my mother that led me to salvation. Ultimately, that kept me safe." So, grandparents, keep it up, keep it up, keep praying for your kids, keep praying for the future generations. You know, be the I always say, be the Caleb or be the Eunice in your family, right? To leave a legacy of faith for our grandkids. And parents, too, we're not, I always say, it's part of our responsibility. It takes a community to raise kids in the ways of the Lord. But we're so thankful for more in your commitment, your faith, and then also for the babysitting, you know. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I'm not kidding. That's true. It's hard. It's very difficult to raise kids on your own. But thank you again, grandparents. Well, welcome back. Some of you guys, you guys have been here before. We're starting a new campaign. We talked about it last week. It's a campaign called Rooted. And so we're going to jumping right into it. And if everybody should have a copy of this book. If you don't, you're going to want to make sure that you pick one up. Again, they're $10. Or if you don't have the means, just come by and pick one up. Don't worry about it. We don't want anybody to go without that. Or the reason for you not having a book is because of some, you know, financial issues. So we do have some extras. So please come and see Stephanie if you don't have a book. You're going to need one for the campaign, and you're also going to need to join a community group. And I know it's like, oh, Pastor, you know how busy my week is. It's crazy. I don't have time. We can be flexible. You can create your own group. Invite maybe some friends and family. Maybe you want to say, hey, I'm going to do this a new campaign, or join us, or talk to other people. We've been very creative in the past. We've even allowed like a hybrid. We've done in person and Zoom. Right, so come see us. We don't want that to be a barrier because ultimately, as you're going to learn today, we're not meant to do this journey, this faith journey alone. We need each other. We need the community of believers. And so please make sure that you pick up your book today as we launch the Rooted series. So it's 10 weeks, and that's a bit of a commitment. But, you know, some of you guys are very committed to a lot of different things, you know, so football games, whatever it is, you're committed. I mean, some of you guys are committed to going to work even though you don't like it, right? So hopefully hopefully for the Lord, you can come 10 weeks in terms of the series itself. But we're excited about it because, you know, whenever we do a spiritual growth campaign like this, it's number one, it's 10 weeks. There's daily devotions. There's intentional meetings and group gatherings. And there's also service projects that are baked into it. So it gives the opportunity for fellowship, and we're going to go through the biblical foundation of it, but it's important, right? You always say, like, well, why do we have to do an organized campaign? And Jesus himself, if you look at the New Testament, he organized campaigns. There was a season of rest, and there was a season of pouring into ministry work. So for us, it's going to be this next 10 weeks in terms of what it means for the campaign, and we're going to be talking about Rooted, and I think it's going to be really good, so we're excited about that. So some of you guys might be thinking, like, well, what is Rooted? Right. I've been hearing a lot. Last week we talked about pulling weeds and doing different things. But the Rooted campaign, go ahead and throw that, it's up there, right? It's based off of seven rhythms, and that's why it's called Seven Rhythms to a Vibrant Faith. And we're going to cover some of those things. But before we dive in, we always want to talk about what's the end goal. Right? Usually when you hop in your car, hopefully you know where you're going. You have an end in mind. Does that make sense? Unless you were like, when you were in high school, you're like, where are you going? I don't know. We're just going to go cruise. You guys remember that? Some of you guys are old enough where you could go cruising like on Blackstone or Mooney Boulevard. Anybody? I never did that, but I was always like, no, there's troublemakers out there. I could get in trouble. That's a true story. But I heard people used to do that. My cousins were like, where are you going to go? We're going to go cruise. We're going to cruise Mooney. And I was like, man, you're in a Chinese, like a little, we used to call it it's like a little Asian van with no nose, the Toyotas. I was like, you can't go cruising in that. It's okay. There's six of us are going. More of us fit. But that's not a cool car to go cruising in. But they would go. I wouldn't because I would be at home studying or doing homework, reading my Bible. No, I wasn't. I wasn't saved yet, guys. But I was very much by the rules. I was pretty square. You can ask my brother. He stepped out. But there is a goal, right? I lost my train of thought. I was like, where was I going with this, right? Whenever you hop in the car, you usually know where you're going. So in the campaign, we have some goals. So Stephen, can you please throw those up? They're in your handout all the way. I didn't want to make you guys fill these out. The goals of the campaign are number one, to connect with God. Number two, to connect with the church. And number three, to connect with your purpose, right? Ultimately, that's the hierarchy themes for the campaign is we want to get closer to God. Now, last week we prayed about, we spent some time in Ephesians chapter 2 and 3, where Paul was talking about praying as a body of believers that each of us would achieve the fullness of God, right? Even if you wrap your brain around that, that is amazing. But we want to connect with the church. So brothers and sisters, right? We need each other. You're not meant to do this the walk of faith alone. We need brothers and sisters to encourage us. And I always say to do the 52 other one another's that are in the New Testament. And then lastly, to connect with your purpose. You know, God has equipped you, giving you talents, gifts, and abilities. And he's also brought you through your journey of life for a reason. And if you had a very challenging upbringing or you've gone through a lot of drama in your life, it's not because God says, let me see how much pain and suffering I could put this brother or sister through. It's not that. It's to glorify God. Ultimately, God is doing and building things in your life for his glory, to bring other people from death to life, to share your testimony and your witness. And so those are the things, right? And so number one, connecting with God. Again, the goals for the campaign, connecting with God, connecting with the church, and connecting with your purpose. Those are really important. Now, if you guys all have, you don't have your little book, or you don't even see it on the logo. The logo itself is rooted, and you'll notice that it has a couple of trees kind of intertwined. I don't know if you could see that. You see that? That's important because there's some significance in what that means. Now we have the blessing and the opportunity to live right in the Central Valley. I always call it the land of milk and honey. You guys already know that. We're so blessed to live where we take for granted all the fruits, all the vegetables, everything that's available. I mean, people bring you boxes of fruit and they go bad, right? I remember we used to work in San Francisco and I brought a box. My parents gave me a box of fruit and I was like, I like the fruit has to be really crunchy and hard. How about you guys? That's your style? Like right off the tree even. Like, that's the freshness, right? But some folks like, you know, so my mom gave me a box and it started to go bad. So I ended up taking, I'm like, I'm going to take it to work. You know, that way somebody will eat it. So, but they were like so ripe. Like it was already going bad, I remember. And this one gal, she was like, anyway, I digress. We're so blessed to live where we live, right? One of the things that it should be very natural to us is the fact of how important it is for trees to be healthy, to have good roots in the system. And even how we look at the seasons, right? Every season that we experience, whether it's winter or spring or summer or fall, has a purpose for the trees. You guys see it. You'll see it when they're pruning the trees. You see it when they're watering. You see it when fertilizing. You see Does that make sense? You guys, we all get that. Now, in terms of what this little, the graphic means for the Rooted campaign, right, is, yeah, thank you. I want to give you guys a visual. We're very blessed as well to hop in the car and drive about an hour, 45 minutes away, see some of these trees that are in the back. You guys know what they are? They're what? They're giant sequoias, right? So you could see how this is one person, and you could see that they usually grow in groves, right? Usually you'll find them, the average number of trees that grows in a giant sequoia grove is about 63. I don't know if you guys know that. And you'll see them as in clusters. The smallest clusters you usually find them is in clusters of six. Why do you guys think that matters? Now, these are the largest living things on the planet. For example, like the General Sherman tree has 50,000 cubic feet of mass. Wrap your brain around that. It's about 100 feet in circumference at the base. So show the next tree, the next one. This is a house, right? And look at how massive this tree is compared to this little cabin right here. So they're huge. And you would think, right, for trees that are that big, that maybe the roots would go down, I don't know, 25 feet, 30 feet, 40 feet into the ground to be able to anchor all of that. How many of you guys think that it's 25 or 30 feet deep? One person? Deeper? 40 feet? That's a good guess, right? It's actually only 6 to 12 feet deep. Only 6 to 12 feet deep. But what they have is the root network extends out about 100 to 150 feet this way. So let's see the next slide. So this is just, again, showing how big these are. This is a Yukon, right, driving through the Chandler tree up here. Next slide. This is what I wanted to show you guys. This is a diagram of the root structure of the giant sequoia trees. Because even though they're only 6 to 12 feet deep, they're 100 feet wide, right? And what you're going to notice is that the roots themselves intertwine. You see, you're not going to find a giant sequoia tree on its own because it'll fall over. And when we're talking about being rooted, number one, we're talking about being rooted in God. But see, we're also talking about being rooted in doing life, community with brothers and sisters. You're not meant to do this journey alone. In fact, what you'll find is that the sequoia trees are kind of unique, where the roots will build a network and intertwine through each other to create the stability needed across the entire grove. What you'll also find is that the roots, when they intertwine, they actually even graft with one another. Do you know what that means? That they share. That they graft and almost intertwine. It becomes a network of roots so that the nutrients across are even shared between the trees. So if this, for example, is in an area that doesn't have as much nutrient, it would graft onto the roots for this tree and be able to sustain and get some of the water and nutrients. Isn't that awesome? I'm a nerd. I don't know. I don't know about you guys. I love it because it's a visual of how we're supposed to do life together. You see, if my brother Joey's right here, come on, Joey, I'm going to do a visual. Stand up, please. He doesn't want to. He's like, oh, my gosh. Look at that. So if my brother Joey here is doing life by himself, and the enemy is a lion roaring to see who could devour. Do you think that the enemy would be able to devour him alone? I mean, he's kind of ripped. Like, look at that. He's kind of fit. But I still think the enemy would be able to devour him on his own. Maybe he sees him. He's like, sizes him up. He's like, I could take him, right? Now, if two of my brothers come up and they stand next to him, and then two of my sisters come up and they stand next to him, and two of my sisters come up and stand next to him. Now, if the lion, right, is now looking to say, whoa, he might be thinking buffet, but probably not. The lion is lazy. He's going to look, right, and even the enemy is the same. He's going to say, this person is protected, this brothers and sisters that are caring for him, so that even if I want to take him, right, don't let me take him. Don't let me take him. Right? Okay. And even if he falls, right, if I try to take him with him, if the roots are grabbed on, I can't do it, right? I can't do it. That is a visual, right, of what it means to be rooted in the church family. That's what the visual of what it means to do life together. Thank you, guys. Joey will never sit in the front ever again. He's always going to sit in the back. Thank you. Thank you, brother, for being a good support. Do you see how it matters that you do life together? If you do this thing alone, man, you're fooling yourself. Your roots aren't deep enough. The network isn't wide enough. You're going to fall over, right? We need each other. We need our brothers and sisters, our roots deeply connected, number one, with God, but then with each other. Amen? And so that's the focus of the Rooted campaign. Number one, to get connected with God, to connect with the church, and to find your purpose. And how do we do that? Now, as you get into the material, you're going to hear and start seeing this theme a lot. It's called the rhythms of Rooted, right? And I'm not talking about rhythms like dancing, you know. Like, you guys remember that breakdancer from Australian breakdancer? She got no rhythm, right? Not that kind of rhythm. I was going to do the kangaroo thing, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to spare you guys. But the seven rhythms of Rooted we're going to cover today during service. And so we're going to spend some time in the scripture identifying where those rhythms come from and what each one of those is. So if you have your Bible, let's go ahead and turn to the book of Acts. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2. And while you guys are doing that, let me read this first scripture that I wanted to share with you guys as well. Colossians 2, chapter 2, 6 and 7, it says, "So then, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him." And then it says, "rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." That's why last week we talked about our life being rooted in Jesus Christ first, and then as we go out and do this. But again, I just wanted to share that passage, that scripture with you guys this morning. We're going to be reading today's main reading is going to be out of the book of Acts. And we're going to be in chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 38. Actually, let's do 7. 37. And what's happening here is that, if you guys remember, this is Peter at Pentecost, and he's talking about what happened and how Jesus came and how they crucified him on the cross. And verse 37 says, "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' Then Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off and for whom the Lord our God will call.' With the many words he warned them and he pleaded with them, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' Those who accepted the message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to everyone who had a need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved." Amen. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture, because I'm a big believer in small groups, and I would say that's one of the foundational verses of doing fellowship and life together in the church. But what we're gonna be spending some time is looking at the seven rhythms of the campaign in that passage of Scripture. The first one is going to be daily devotion. Right? So if you want to look at your screen, and the first fill in the blank for this morning is daily devotion. And that's spending time with God daily through scripture and reflection. And we see that in Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. Spending time daily through scripture and reflection. One of the cornerstones of our faith, right, is believing and understanding that this book right here is inspired by God's Spirit. The Spirit of God inspired and used over 66 different authors to write this book, and how it all coalesces. Right? If you go back and look at the theologians that have gone through and been able to study the Bible from beginning to end and see how it all kind of intertwines. And we always know, right? The book, the Bible is a book of Jesus Christ. It's a book of faith for sure. But it's God's word to us and how it inspires us. Now you guys will hear me say it before. There's power in words. And even in human encouragement, there's power, right? How many of you guys have ever been hurt or disappointed or I would say cut deeply by the words of somebody that you trusted, somebody that you loved? Some of you guys? It's true. There's power in the word, right? But the good news is, right, that God's word, right, also has even more power, has a power to bring us from death to life, has power to restore us, power to encourage us, power to even rebuke us when we need it. Amen? And so we have to be very, very intentional to have a daily devotion. Now, it depends. You know, some folks are morning people. How many of you guys are morning people in here? A few of you guys? How many are evening people or night people? You guys will stay up. Now, being like a night person is hard for me because I would fall asleep. You know, you fall asleep and then you're like, oh, I fell asleep praying. I was just so deep in meditation. And you just fell asleep. So for me, morning is when I do my meditation, I'll be honest with you. But whether you're a morning person or you're a night owl, what's important is that you have a quiet time alone with God. That you get into the word, that you meditate, and then you let it just speak to you. Now, I always say, before your meditation and quiet time, ask the Holy Spirit to come in. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal. Clear your heart and your mind, right? Not your heart. Clear your mind. Prepare your heart, sorry. To receive from God. Because God's word is alive. And it'll start to, reveal certain things that you need to hear. This happened to me, and God is awesome. You can be praying sometimes for an issue. You might have a situation or a circumstance, and God will speak to you, and He'll say, "Go read your Bible." Has that ever happened? And the passage that you read was exactly what you needed to hear from Him. Has that ever happened to anybody? Isn't God amazing? It's awesome. But we have to be intentional to set that time apart, to have an appointment. Now, you know, when I first got here, my brother Stephen was all happy. Look at him. He goes all happy. He's like, "It's my anniversary, Pastor. I'm so in love." Look at him. Look at him. Adriana, you got him. And he's like, "So what'd you guys do?" He's like, "I went to a football game, and I think I'm going to take her to dinner later. I don't know if I'm ruining the surprise." But it's important. He was excited, right? He made a time. He set aside this time to spend with his wife, Adriana. He's like in love. Don't you? There's somebody giggling over here. Because when you love somebody, what do? When you love somebody? Do you ignore them? Do you not talk to them? You normally do what? You make time, guys. You make appointments. Go on dates. That's why, you know, it's important when you go to those marriage things, it says you have to make time to keep dating, right, your spouse. It's important. Because if not, life happens and you start to grow apart. So it's important that, like, just like Stephen, you can be all happy, make an appointment, make a time to spend with God every day. Listen, it's important in a relationship to make time. It's even more important to make a relationship and have a daily devotion with our Creator. Because from that relationship, from that connection, we're rooted in Him, then everything else flows, and we have peace, right? My son is singing over there. My son is autistic, and he's discovered the gift of singing. So every morning around 5 o'clock in the morning, he's singing in the hallway. That's a true story. About 4:30 a.m., he's up, and he's singing. So I just let him sing. Anyway. But it's important for the daily devotion. And again, that was out of Acts 2:42. It says, they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of bread. That's the first rhythm. The second rhythm that we see in that same scripture is number two, prayer. Prayer, engaging in personal and communal prayer. And that's communicating with God regularly. communicating with God regularly. You see, you have to be, and oftentimes we think, you know, prayer is just communication, plain and simple. Communication in any relationship is essential. It's vital. It's critical. You can have small little breakdowns of communication and get into some big old arguments. Has that ever happened where you misfire, you thought you didn't communicate effectively, and then what happens? You get mad or you're angry or you're upset. In your life and in your walk with God, it's the same way. God wants to hear from us, and we need to hear from Him. So we have to make time, right, to be in prayer. In that same scripture, it says that they devoted themselves to teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. And prayer is just talking to God. Prayer is talking to God and being honest with Him and coming before Him. And I always say, you know, Jesus teaches us how to pray in Matthew chapter 6. Gives us the blueprint, but He doesn't tell us, repeat these words, like as a religious activity. That's not what He's saying. And we're going to spend some more time. Today's a high level because over the course of the next 10 weeks, we're going to be spending time in each one of these, spending more time in what it means. But not the religious kind of prayer. How many of you guys, you know, I grew up Catholic, and so I get gone to like, you know, go to the rosary masses, where it feels like there is, you thought you were going into a rosary and a gathering, but it turned out to be like a Mexican auction. You guys know what I'm talking about? Where it feels like Santa Maria, Madre de Dios. Does that sound familiar? It sounds like you're at an auction house. I've been there. And I have to ask myself, how is this bringing God glory? How are we like Mexican oxygen, like a prayer? How is it bringing God any kind of glory? How are we communicating the truth? How are we? I always say, take this with a grain of salt. I'm not trying to knock anybody, right? I'm just saying, like Jesus says, this is the blueprint, but it's not the religious activity of how you do that. Does that make sense? It's just communication and talking and being honest and sincere and not having this rehearse and script thing of how we do that. Now, we have to be careful ourselves that even in ourselves, in our own prayer, we can do the microwave prayer. How many of you guys have microwave prayers? The one that you pray right before you eat as the microwave is praying too? I have some too. I'll be honest, I convict myself. I'm like, man, remember who we're speaking to. We have to come with reverence and awe. The creator of the universe is who you're talking to. I always use this comparison. You might have good bosses and bad bosses. In your mind, you'll say like, oh man, I'm not going to go there. But you generally, right, speak to them with respect, with a little bit of awe, right? Like not like awe, but like general respect. You prepare yourself. How about when you come before God? We show more respect sometimes when we come before somebody, a created person in a position of power over our life, than we show respect when we come before the creator of the universe. So, well, we're going to spend some more time talking about that. But prayer is just engaging in personal and communal prayer and communicating with God regularly, not just when you're going to eat, not just when you're here on Sundays or when you're meeting with your group, but every single day. Because if you try that, right, with your spouse or your kids, it wouldn't go well. It wouldn't go well at all. And God wants to hear from us. And that's the second rhythm. The third rhythm is repentance and breaking strongholds. And this comes by identifying and overcoming spiritual and personal strongholds through repentance. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right. One of the rhythms that we're looking at is to live a life that is rooted in Jesus Christ and rooted with God and connected with each other, is understanding and pulling out. You know, if you're trying to follow in the same analogy, if you have a garden and you're trying to build your roots in, you also have to pull the weeds out. And some of us have some big weeds. It's called sin. And I know you're using that analogy a lot, but if it's not dealt with, it's going to cause some crazy problems. Because what? The wage of the sin is death. So we have to repent and identify the strongholds in our life. Our predispositions, our proclivities to specific kind of sins even. Everybody in here has a predisposition to some type of sin or addiction. Every one of us. So we have to make sure that we recognize and root those out. Those personal strongholds and spiritual strongholds can only be dealt with if we repent and we really give them over to Jesus and work some of those things out as well. It's not going to happen on your own. You need brothers and sisters. Forgiveness comes from God, but the processing of that stronghold and getting through it and getting over it, that comes from the body of believers as well. And ultimately, right, the ability to hold comes from God Himself. It's a spiritual battle. Some of you know that if you have family members who have dealt with addiction or depression, anxiety, you know it's a spiritual battle. And the therapy and the talking about it, that's helpful. But it's not going to win when there's a spiritual component to it. That's only going to get you so far. Otherwise, we would have, your family member that's tried or that we've known or even ourselves that we tried and tried and tried and tried and not have victory. Why? Because we're human beings. We need the supernatural ability to overcome the strongholds. We need the supernatural ability to be broken free. That's what we call the breaking of chains and removing those strongholds and those footholds so the enemy has no way to get back in. Does that make sense to everybody? So that's the third rhythm. The fourth rhythm that we're going to be learning about is sacrificial generosity. And that's living with an open heart and giving generously of time, of resources, and talents. And we see that in Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45. Again, that's sacrificial generosity, living with an open heart, and giving generously of time, resources, and talents. Acts 2, 44 through 45 says, "And all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had a need." Right? They were sharing. They were putting their time, their talents, their resources for the growth of the ministry and for the growth of the church. Now, I know whenever we talk about this one in the church, people always, you know, like people, you talk about giving and generosity. The first thing people do is like, if the purse is in front of them, they hide the purse. The wallet, they grab the wallet. He's going to ask me for something. I've told you guys here before, right? God doesn't need money. This church, and I know it's counterintuitive, I've said it before, this church doesn't need your money. Spiritual giving is a spiritual component. Because number one, what does the heart struggle with? It struggles with possession and material things. And so spiritual, if you talk about the component of it, it's for us so that we're not so like greedy and tight and so like penny pinchers. We're not, you know what the word miserable comes from? The word miserable comes from the word miser. The word miser comes from somebody that is so what? Godo. They're so tight. They have a lot, but they're like, oh no, you're going to pay for that? Oh, are you going to pitch in for that? Everything is focused around that thing that it's like a weed all tangled around their heart. Nothing will ever be enough. The act of giving and the tithe is just a spiritual, it's a spiritual discipline to free us from that, honestly. When you recognize that God gives you 100 and he says, give 10 back to the church for the purpose of ministry, and you get to say, man, God, I get to keep 90? Awesome. The next time that somebody walks up to you and says, brother, I'll give you $100 if you give me $10 back. What do you think the appropriate response to that is? Do you hear it? Let me say, I'll give you $100, but you have to give me $10 back. Would you take that deal? I would take it every day. Does that make sense? You give, because I'm keeping the 90. See, that's what we're talking about. It's just a spiritual discipline. But we don't like to talk about money. We don't like to talk about it. Don't ask me. It's not cool. Listen, and here's why I said what I said in terms of giving. God already owns it all, guys. He owns the universe. He owns you. What do you think that? And I'm holding on to my little because I want to be young, but no. God owns it all. It's a spiritual component, and God invites us to participate in the work of the ministry. That's it. And so we don't want to mush it up over here, and you're never going to hear me like pressure, like, oh, wow. It's, look, we run very lean here, right? And this church, and I've said it before, right? Every one of us is just giving. None of us is on salary. All of us are volunteers because God is good, right? We're just working to grow and hopefully plant the next small church. And if God calls us to plant a church in another community and serve another 10 and raise up and equip another 10 or 40 or 50, that's what we're going to do. We're just going to keep doing God's work until he calls us home. Very simple, right? So, but that's of, that's, and I talked a little bit about resources, an open heart and being generous with our time, talents, and resources. Because God is a giver too. God is generous. And if we're going to be like Christ, who gave it all on the cross, we can give a little bit of our time, talents, and resources. See, when you're going to be rooted in the church, it's going to cost you something. It's going to inconvenience you a little bit. But believe me, when you show up for the things of Christ and for the things of the church, the blessing is for you. You get to move and be a part of what God is doing through the life of the church. A lot of people say, like, I don't want to go to church because they're going to want something from me. You think God needs something from you? Oh my gosh, you're so awesome. You get to participate. You're invited to be a part of the team. A winning team, not like this team. Every year I have my hopes up and look at, I tell people, Jesus made me a Bills fan to grow my faith. But we get to be invited to be part of the winning team, Team Jesus. Not Team Bills or Team Bengals. I'm sorry, brother. We're long-suffering over here. Someday. Isn't it? See, when you see it that way, doesn't it make a difference? When God is calling you to be generous, when God is calling us to have an open heart and to give of our time, talents, and resources, you get to be a part of the winning team. You can be, a lot of times people are mad because they're like, oh, you're sitting on the bench. You're sitting on the bench because you want to be sitting on the bench. And you like it there. You like to criticize. Armchair quarterback. Oh, I would have done this. Oh, I would have done that. Oh, the pastor, he forgot like five verses. He messed up real bad in worship today. He sang hardly on that one, Hajisali. I was committed already. I got to keep going. It's easy to be the armchair quarterback. I keep saying there's more space up here for the mics, guys. It's easy to armchair quarterback. Get in the game. With your time, talents, and abilities, with an open heart. When you open your heart, just say, God, just do whatever. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to do it for you, Jesus. You think that God's not going to reward that? When you move outside your comfort zone? God's not a liar. He invites you to participate, and it's for your blessing that we're going to talk about, and we're going to be learning more about giving sacrificially and being generous, because we're called, like I said, to be small Jesuses, and Jesus gave it all. The next rhythm we're going to be learning about is serving the community, and we do that by taking action to meet the needs of others through service. And again, that's out of Acts 2:45. It says, they sold property and possession to give it to everyone who had a need. So you're serving in the community and taking action to meet the needs of others through service. We want to create opportunities for that. The small groups are going to have service challenges. This is an opportunity for us to go out and serve in the community. There's also going to be a church-wide service event on week 6 or 7, depends on which one we pick. And we need ideas. We want to serve. We don't have to reinvent the wheel, guys, but if you know somebody, if there's a ministry that you know needs support and service, hey, want to mobilize 40 or 50 of us to do it? Let's do that. If you have a family that you know has a need, that's great. Let us know, right? Come talk to us. We'd love to mobilize the whole church body with resources and do something awesome, right? Just to serve, just to be the hands and the feet. We're not expecting anything back. You know, but it would be a great opportunity. So every group is meeting is going to have that opportunity. We're going to have your small service opportunities. And then we want to do a church-wide service opportunity. Because why? Because service is for you. When you serve, when you get plugged in, when you're part of it, the blessing is for you, not for the other person. Doesn't it feel good when you do something for somebody else? It does, right? It feels good, man. Like, it's like they had a need, and that person turns around, and you think that you're blessing, and they turn around and they bless you with a prayer, with a thank you, with an encouragement. So we're going to have those opportunities as part of this campaign to meet the needs. Because listen, at the same time, right, Jesus, he fed people. He cured people. He healed people. He had a service ministry. I don't know if you know that. You've heard this analogy before. It's very difficult to say, hey, you're starving. I'm going to pray for you. Okay, yeah, but how about you give something to eat first? Right? Jesus met people for their physical needs too. And then, of course, he always dealt with the spiritual need. Number six, the sixth rhythm of the campaign. Sharing your story and telling others your personal faith journey and God's work in your life. In Acts 2:47, we read that the people were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You see, what God is doing in your life is not just for you. It's for your testimony. You're going to glorify God. Your life, whether you believe it or not, and every single person that lives is meant to glorify God. I was like, how does that mean? I'm just being honest with you. We have an opportunity to do God's work, or on the flip side of it, God will be glorified as well. God is sovereign in heaven and earth and even in hell, guys. We get to choose. And our testimony is not because God, I always say our testimony adds, it brings this book comes to life through the power, number one, of the Holy Spirit, because it's inspired by God, but because of our testimony. We get to share the good news. You got to tell others about your personal faith journey and God's work in your life. And so as part of the campaign, there's going to be a week where you're going to write out your testimony. And you're going to be challenged to share it with three different people to share about God's goodness and what he's done in your life. Because it's not you. I always say, we're not so awesome. We're not. But God is awesome. The God we serve is amazing. And his story is what matters. And so we have the opportunity to share that with people. Because oftentimes, when people are going through a crisis or a struggle, yeah, a word of encouragement is powerful. A scripture, definitely powerful. But to see the scripture applied in somebody's life and how God used that person and that situation and circumstance to bring them out of that, that's something else. That's why Paul, time and time again in the New Testament, would always tell his what? He would tell his testimony over and over and over again. And he would change it to apply to the people who he was talking to. So you have, your testimony is your own, but God will equip you with different people around your life to share the testimony of his goodness. And he'll bring people that have gone through that same struggle. You know, when Ethan was first diagnosed with autism back, 2010? It was tough for us. Back then, there was not a lot of people it was kind of like a foreign thing. And God started to work. You know, he provided. We had a family, a network, people around us that were praying and encouraging us, a church body of believers that fed us, that prayed with us, that gave us scriptures and encouragement. We tried to get resources as well. But then you know what God started doing? The more and more I started talking to people about the testimony, I started finding out there's a lot of people One in 44 now is the latest stat. One in 43 is the last one that I counted. To share, right? That you didn't do anything wrong. That you're not, that God is still sovereign. That your child is still a blessing and a miracle from God. And so it's interesting how your testimony, right, starts to resonate with other people. Because when you're going through it, you feel like you're the only one. You feel like, why did this happen to me? Why is this happening? And here, I keep saying it. God is awesome. He's sovereign. We just have to trust him. You know, in April, we always do like an autism awareness thing. We used to do it back at our old church. And we would always just share. Our family, pretty normal. We do, it's a little bit different. But God is good, right? It's different. But God is good every single day. We get to see. Oftentimes, some folks we would say, right? Like, and it's the little things. When you have a family like that, right? Family or a child, a kid who has autism, for example. The wins are different from the wins that your family, but they're still wins. There's still miracles and answered prayers. For me, it was when I used to come home and I would ask Ethan, how's your day? And he would never say anything. And then he finally started saying, it was good, Dad. What? You don't know how that's like, what? And now, I just told you guys, at 4:30 in the morning, he's singing. Worship songs. You know, I'll challenge him against any other kids about Bible stories. It's just different. They're hardwired different, like a file of information in the brain. How do we get it out? We'll figure it out. But God is awesome. He's sovereign. We're going to trust him every single day. You know, maybe he'll be up here one day preaching, telling stories. I don't know. Maybe he's going to sing worship with me. I got to work on the pitches, kind of. But he might get there. But listen, it's the power of the testimony. Because as we go through it, you're going to recognize that God is putting through that heartache or that pain or that trial just to make you suffer. No pain is wasted in God's kingdom. It's to bring glory to himself, to share his goodness to somebody else that's going through that same issue. If you went through a dark time with your marriage, don't hide that. Don't be like, shh, we don't ever talk about our problems. You guys treat your defeats, your heartaches, your failures, like you're in that movie, Encanto. We don't talk about Bruno. We don't talk about our sin. We don't talk about our failure. No. Does that make sense? We just ignore it. Nobody ever talks about that. We don't talk about the addiction and the depression and the anxiety. We don't talk about our problems. We're not going to glorify it, but we're going to talk about it. Because guess what? Like Paul says, the struggle that you're going through is not something new. He's not surprised. Your temptation and your sin is not new to you. It's not foreign. It's very common. But in the culture that we live in, don't talk about it. We don't talk about Bruno. No, we have to talk about it. We have to talk life. Say, the thing that you're going through is not foreign. Jesus will get, you know the answer? More Jesus. And don't preach to people and say, you need to go to church. That's why your life is messed up because you don't have church. The church is not the solution. Jesus is the solution. But we have to share our testimony about what Jesus is doing, that he gets the glory. And that's, again, how we build our personal faith journey, and we talk about God's work in our life. And so through the campaign, there's going to be a week where we're going to be focused on how do you articulate your testimony? How do you put it together? And it will be like Paul, depending on who you're talking to. It'll be effective to the person you're trying to reach. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm not like, I grew up in Orange Cove, but I'm not a cholo. Like I never was in the streets. I was always at home. My brother knows. I was playing video games, doing homework. You know, I was not in the streets. Like, that's not my ministry. So my testimony might not be as effective as reaching somebody that has that background. It's true. I'm just being honest. The prison ministry, maybe not for me. I wouldn't make it in jail. I'm just being honest with you. I'm like, I'm law-abiding because I'm afraid. I watch those things on the History Channel. I'm like, oh, I'm not going there. So prison, chale. But other brothers that have gone through, right, and God has turned them around and does some amazing things, they can speak like that. How am I going to go and do that? That's not the testimony for me. But guess what? That's not, like, God doesn't call me to try to reach and do everything. He gives me my people. He gives me my people to reach. He says, I'm going to put people in your path that maybe have gone through a kid with autism. I'm going to put you in the path where when you were younger and you thought you knew it all and you're full of pride and you're unforgivingness, you can speak truth to them, right? I'm going to bring truth to people when young couples, when they thought they had it all figured out on their own and figuring out that they were suffering silently. Does that make sense? God is going to bring people to you that have gone through what you've gone through so you can tell them about Jesus. So, if you guys want to do a prison outreach, I'm probably not going to go. I'll pray for you. I might go. I'm just afraid. Like, I'm just being honest with you guys. I'm scared. What did they say? Put a tattoo on my eye? Oh, fake tattoos. Yeah. Man. They got jokes in the back today. Praise God. Maybe. Hey, God's still working. He might do something. But our testimony is for His glory. And so we're going to be working on that, sister. And the last one is, the last rhythm we're going to be covering is worship. Worship, and that's participating in both private and corporate worship, expressing love and reverence for God. Participating in both private and corporate worship, expressing love and reverence for God. Acts 2:46 says, every day they continued to meet together in temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. See, the temple courts is like this, what we do here on Sundays. Yeah, we gather at Reagan School and we set up and tear down and put the curtains, and that's what we do corporate, right? We do it together. Usually it's a one-way conversation. Well, a little bit of this, but the Holy Spirit as well, right? Doing His thing in your heart. And that's great. We need that. We need to be encouraged, right? We need to get filled in, a little bit of worship, encouragement of the Word, prayer. But you also need to understand that worship is, we talk about this a lot, community group, where you gather and you break bread and you pray and you learn about the apostles' teaching. That's Jesus Christ. And you do life together. And then every single day of your life, if you're in devotion and you have the opportunity to wake up, you're worshiping God. Thank you, God, for this day. I'm alive. You're doing something. Every day is an act of worship. Every day is an act of love and expression of reverence for what God is doing in our life. Every single day you're faced with a choice. You get to decide, right? How are you gonna perceive that, or how are you gonna go about that day? You can go about that day worshiping God, praising God, or you can focus on the problem that's in front of you. Because let me just tell you, to live is to what? It's to struggle. You guys already know this. John 16:33. What is it? What did Jesus say? In this life, you're going to have troubles, right? But don't fear, because I've overcome the world. So we can trust God in His promise that He's good. And we can thank Him and praise Him and worship Him. Even through the storm. Even through the grief, pain, we can still worship God. Our situation and circumstance, our pain, our problem, does not determine God's praiseworthiness. He's worthy of our praise and adoration all the time. If you don't believe me, read the book of Isaiah chapter 6. Go to Revelations. And what does it tell us there? The angels sing songs of worship and praise all day about how good He is, about His glory. And we get to choose when we go into the rhythm of talking about worship, about rounding out our day. Because listen, man, every day is something, right? There's some kind of drama, some kind of problem. Every one of us in here has 99 problems. But an amazing God is not one of them. Amen? So we just got to focus on the one amazing God and not the 99 problems that we have. And so as we go through this, brothers and sisters, we're going to be learning and spending some time engaged. And listen, this campaign, it could be one of those things where you just go through it and you could be lukewarm about it and say, oh, I did it. I just microwaved my prayer. I kind of fast forward. Oh, I don't really want to go to the group, but I guess I'll go. Listen, you get out what you commit to in life, in relationships. You get what you commit to. If your commitment is lukewarm, don't expect, right? When you jump head over heels into things of God, get ready for God to do some awesome things in your life. Why? Because He is not a liar. Because God is awesome. And the more that we're seeking Him with all of our hearts to be rooted and connected to Him and to the church and to His purpose for our life, the more things start to make sense. But if we're just lukewarm, yeah, I'm tired, I don't feel like going today. Oh, I got this, you know. And that's the same response you're going to get. So in the book, in your first group meeting, there's going to be a page that talks about committing to being in church, committing to your daily devotion, committing to your daily prayer, committing to the time of service, committing to, there's going to be a prayer gathering. You're going to get out of this campaign what you decide you get into it. You know why? Because you're as near or as far away from God as you want to be. God is there, and He is willing. But the question I have for us is, are we willing to commit the time and to make the sacrifices to put Him first, to allow us to be rooted into Him and to root it into the church family and to find our purpose and what He's trying to do in our life? I'll leave you guys with that. Let's pray. Father God, we come before You in the name of Your Son, Jesus, Lord. Thank You, Lord God, for just Your awesomeness. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for making a way. And thank You for what You're going to do through this campaign. Lord, You're amazing. You are so good to us. And Lord, it's my prayer that every one of us, as we go through this next 10 weeks, that we be very intentional to develop our relationship to achieve the goals that You have for us. And that's to connect with You more in a deeper way. That's to connect with the church and to find our purpose. And Lord, if there's an area of one of these seven rhythms, Lord, that we're struggling with, I pray that You would just work in our lives through this campaign. That You would help us to be honest and real. We can try to put on a mask and a front, but we're not fooling anybody. You know. So if we struggle with our time of devotion, our time management, Lord God, help us there. If we're being lukewarm in our prayer life, please, Lord God, help us through the power of the Holy Spirit. If there's any strongholds or anything, any hidden sin, any darkness, anything that we need to repent and surrender to You. If we have those spiritual strongholds and personal strongholds and unforgiveness in our life and things that we haven't put before You, help to bring it to life through this campaign, through our daily time of being in Your Word and a prayer and fellowship with You and with brothers and sisters. Lord Jesus, You came to give us a full life, not a life that is halfway or continually struggle back and forth, lukewarm in our walk. But that comes by letting You be Lord and turning all these things over to You. And that means repenting of our sin. That means processing these strongholds and giving us clarity, giving us a blueprint to avoid these failures that maybe we go through. Lord Jesus, will You help us in that? Lord God, would you also meet us at and work in our hearts, that you want us to have an open heart and give generously. You are a generous God, and you want us to mirror you in that. Lord God, would you work in our hearts that maybe we, from early on, we were taught differently. We have a different view of money. We have a different view of resources. We have a different view of our talents. We're very self-centered in these areas. And so, Lord God, that's the issue that we're struggling with. Would you help us? Would you take the chains of greed, a misunderstanding of use of time and talents and resources during this campaign? Father God, would you give us a heart to serve? Will you help us to identify the needs that people have in the community and to meet those needs, to be your hands and feet, Lord Jesus? And recognize that when we're serving, it's really you we're serving. Your word tells us that if we do to the least of these, it's like you're doing to you, Lord Jesus. So you help us, Lord God, not to be so distrusting, just to meet the needs of others. Father God, will you equip us to share our testimony? Lord, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you've brought us through. For many of us, it's the broken road that brought us to you, Lord God. It's the crisis in our life. It's when we are at our worst and our lowest point, when we surrendered and we took the crown off of our head and we laid it at your feet and we put the crown on your head, Lord Jesus. Would you equip us to share that faith journey? Would you help us to share the good news of who you are through the good work that you're doing in our life? Lord God, would you help us to worship you? Would you help us to worship you with every moment of our life, through the ups and the downs, as we love you and we fear you and we revere you, Lord God? Will you fill our heart with gladness, with joy and with peace and with hope? Thank you, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy and your goodness. Continue to watch over us, Lord God. Lord, in the next 10 weeks, as we try to draw closer to you, we know the enemy is going to try to set us back, distract us. We know the enemy is going to try to fight us. We want nothing more than to have victory over this time, to disrupt the campaign, disrupt the work that you have in our life, Lord God. We rebuke the attacks of the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. Would you bring protection over our family and over our homes as we draw closer to you, Lord God, during these next 10 weeks? We walk out of it on the other side, man. I remember this season, when it's a season I was sick and tired of being lukewarm, where I desired God. I remember committing to him and at this campaign, at this time. Lord God, we are going to just give you all the honor and all the glory for what you're going to do. Will you continue to move and bring the increase and help us to share the good news? And just like you tell us in your book today, that we can all be praising you, enjoy the favor of the people, and that you, Lord God, would add to our daily those that are being saved by the Holy Spirit, by Jesus Christ, making a way back to the Father. Thank you again, Lord God, for this morning and for this day. Bless us. Keep us. Watch over our family and over our home. Keep us all safe, Lord. Continue to help us to have a successful launch in our small groups. Lord, that we can gather again next Sunday, Lord God, and we can already start learning more about what you're doing and who you are as we dive into the basics of who you are, Lord God. Thank you again for your grace and your mercy, Lord. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.